on FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. Radio
Newark. Hey, 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 Kevin Guthrie here, talking all things mental health and well-being. Welcome to another one of our podcasts. So in the studio today, we have the lovely Leslie Pashley. Welcome, Leslie.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you for being here. So I'm going to begin, as I normally do, with a question from one of our listeners. So the question that I've picked out this week was, if I went to therapy, how many sessions would I need? Now, this is a question that I get asked a lot when people are sat in front of me. And honestly, I can never answer. Sometimes you might need 6 sessions, sometimes you might need 60 sessions. But what I do know about therapy is that you can dip in and out. If you find a therapist that can do this, you can dip in and out whenever you choose. So somebody might sit with me for 10 sessions and then say, actually, I'm good for a while. At which point I would say, okay, that's fine. The door is always open for you. So we can't predict how many sessions that you might need. Okay, but great question. So, Leslie, welcome to the studio. Just tell us a little bit about what you do. Let's start there.
What do I do? I have got a marketing company in Newark.
Called
Nettle and Red Lime. We've been, in one form or another, we've been in Newark for, 17, 18 years.
Wow.
And we've just opened a second studio in Grantham.
Excellent. So, well done. So business is good.
Yes.
So tell me why, for you wanted to be here today and involved in one of these podcast recordings.
So several fold, I suppose. So mental health issues, particularly in young adults, is something that's very close to my heart.
Yep.
And I think the fact of trying to get rid of the stigma around it, which does still exist, sadly, particularly amongst young adults in a lot of cases. And secondly, because we are setting up a support group in Grantham for parents, carers, friends of young adults who have or have had mental health issues. So from personal experience, when times were at their worst, there was actually nobody really to talk to.
Yeah.
There were lots of carers, networks, if you had dementia.
Yeah.
But nothing particularly around mental health, particularly in young adults.
Yeah.
And you, I think, for your own mental health, need to talk to somebody outside of the immediate family.
Yeah.
When things are really bad. So because everybody else has their own opinion, everybody has a vested interest in the subject. And sometimes you just need to talk to somebody or cry or whatever, you know, that actually doesn't know anybody that's involved.
Yeah.
So I tried to find a group, couldn't. Just recently, because for us things are a lot better than they were. Recently I was talking to another mother, exactly the same problem. So we've decided to set up a support group in Grantham.
That's fantastic.
So, yes.
So what are you going to call the support group?
Well, we, at the minute, there is a Facebook page.
Yep.
There's a group, and it's actually Family of the Black Dog.
Yep.
So if you look for that and join the group, that would be brilliant. But because the nature of that sounds a little bit like it's depression related, which actually a lot of mental illness isn't about depression, we are probably going to change it. And one name that we have come up with is Innate. So 1 in 8 children and young adults will suffer at least one mental health issue. So the word innate means in philosophy of the mind. So that's our plan. And we're going to meet the second Thursday of the month. So the next meeting, and in fact our first meeting, will be Thursday the 9th of May.
The launch date.
Yes. And it'll be 7 p.m. At the Urban Hotel in Grantham. But if everybody just joins the group, we will confirm that on the Facebook page.
Cool.
Or I'm happy, if it helps for you, to have my details if somebody doesn't want to go through Facebook.
Yep.
So
brilliant.
Yeah.
So just to confirm, it's the 9th of May, which is the first meeting.
Yep.
The group is going to be called Innate, but at the moment there's a Facebook page called...
Family of the Black Dog.
Family of the Black Dog. For people that don't know the reference to Black Dog, Black Dog is a animation that was developed quite a few years ago now. And Black Dog references depression. If you have not watched the video, it's brilliant because it just... visualizes, gives a visual representation of how depression can kind of happen. I really want to do something really similar around anxiety because there's been nothing similar done. Yeah. And yet when I speak to people about anxiety, I always try to get them to make their own visualization of it because it makes it more powerful.
Yeah.
If we can visualize it as a thing, as a little monster at the side of them, then we can control it more.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's in our head, it's much harder, so
yes,
perhaps there's a bit of work there.
Absolutely. Well, Deborah Wiley, who we've set up the group together,
yep,
has actually written a book as well about
brilliant.
Her. I think it's around her family, but
yeah.
And the issues that they've had. But she might be another guest.
Absolutely. What's the name of the book? Do you know?
I don't know whether it is Family of the Black Dog. It
right,
might be something like that. So,
okay.
But yeah.
Excellent.
Find out.
Well, what we'll try and do is we'll try and get the name of that and then we'll tag it into the bump that goes with this podcast because that sounds like a really great book to read.
Yeah.
Sounds like a book I'd like to read, actually. And so the meeting is taking place at the Urban Hotel in Grantham. People are to join the Facebook page,
yes.
Which is Family of the Black Dog.
Dog, yes.
I'm getting there. See, I'm getting there. And then they can link up with you
yes,
that way.
Yes,
brilliant.
Yes.
What a great thing that you're doing there.
Well, I mean, I hope people come along. You know, it's not about therapy.
No.
It's not a group exercise. It is just an avenue for people who, even if they just want to get out of the house for an hour and escape and come down and... have a tea, have a coffee, have a drink, and just talk to other people. You don't even have to talk about what's happening in your own life. But if you want to, obviously you can. It's just, I suppose, just being with people who know what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, and perhaps the difficulties that as a family you're facing. So it's just literally just a support network, really.
A place where you can be around like-minded people.
Yeah,
and like you say, even if you don't want to talk about stuff, you know that you can if you feel the desire to do so,
and that you're not on your own.
Yeah,
you know, it's certainly in our situation. There were very few friends, close friends that we could talk to as such, because we just didn't really think that they would understand.
Yeah,
and being with people that actually have been through it is
Just to share those experiences, if you choose to.
Yeah. And the thing that I was desperate for in our situation was to know that there might be a solution.
Yeah.
And that was because I've always had control over lots of things in my life, bit of a control freak. This was one thing actually I couldn't control.
Yeah.
And that's actually really hard to live with because... if it was a physical illness as well, I could understand it. I could understand the process that we would go through and I could understand the experts that we would see. With mental health, I just had no knowledge.
Yeah.
The system out there, unfortunately, isn't very easy to get the best support through the NHS. It's getting better, but it's you don't know what... it's likely to be the outcome. And that was one of the biggest things that I struggled with, was that I didn't know where this was going to end.
Yeah.
And again, I think I was just at one point, I remember being on some forum at like 3 a.m, just trying to find another parent that had been through what we'd been through.
Yeah.
That actually their child was now living a relatively normal life.
Yeah.
You know, because... it affects the whole family.
Yeah.
You know, the whole family is like any illness is caught up in it. And it's also about you, how is this going to affect my life as well going forward, you know?
Absolutely.
So even if you can talk to people that say, actually, we've come out the other end,
yeah,
you know, albeit at different levels, then I think that hopefully some people will find some support or comfort or whatever from that.
So, yeah, that's brilliant. You mentioned control there, and actually used the term control freak. And I, just to say that around, you know, as humans, we desire control. And there's a really basic reason for that. And the reason is that we like to be in control of our own lives, but it's to do with survival. We go back to caveman days, and it's just about survival, that part there. It's a basic human need of ours. So on some level, we all desire control. But then when we're faced with things that we feel like we have no control over, it sends us crazy, absolutely crazy.
And I think what compounds it is that you can't say to a young adult who might have mental health issues, stop it or don't do that.
Yeah.
Because that's naturally what we do.
Yeah.
Because you can't really understand why they can't stop whatever it is they're doing, or you know what, just eat or whatever, you know, whatever the, you know. And it's that as well, the fact that they think very differently to how we're thinking.
Yeah.
And it's trying to understand that as much as we can.
Yeah.
And it gets incredibly frustrating. So,
absolutely.
For everyone.
Absolutely.
You know, so, yeah.
That's brilliant. So what I'm going to offer you, if the group Innate takes off and you think that in a couple of months' time that the people that are arriving would value me coming along and just having a chat.
Yeah.
For them to ask me any questions that they wanted to ask, then just give me a shout. Give me a shout.
And even some tips for how their mental health might be affected.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I say, the whole family is affected by it, and it does affect you as well, you know. So
one of the basics around that one is, I mean, there's a really great phrase, and the phrase is that you can't pour from an empty cup. And what people mean by that is you have to fill your own cup first to be able to drink from it. The one that I use in therapy is, you know, when you're on an aeroplane and they ask you if the oxygen mask falls.
Yeah.
I've said this before on podcast. If the oxygen mask falls, they always say, take your own oxygen first before you pass it on. Mm. Why do they say that?
So you can survive.
So you can pass on the oxygen to other people. Because if you don't, you're going to pass out. And it's the same in life. If we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't take care of ourselves, then we're not going to be able to take care of other people. Yeah. And that's the difficulty. The conflict in our head is, how can I take care of myself when my child or young person is in such a bad way?
Yeah.
That's the conflict. Because in our head we go, no, I can't do that. And I, as a therapist, I'm going, you have to do that.
Yes.
You have to take your own oxygen first. It is so difficult.
Because I think as a parent as well, you're expected to be strong.
Yeah.
You're expected to be the one that actually will sort this.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get it sorted somehow. And, you know, and then... as you say, if you're not feeling strong, actually strong yourself, it's you can't really help them as much as you'd like to. So,
you are expected to, but a child doesn't come with a manual.
No, no, I know.
It just doesn't. And I work with a lot of parents that really struggle for a lot of different reasons. I always say to them, you know, there is no manual over this. It's it's just sometimes a lot of it is suck it and see.
Yes.
It can be really difficult.
Yes.
And there can be advice out there and there can be masses of advice. So then it's who am I going to listen to?
Yeah.
But we can be really, really quite harsh on ourselves as parents.
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of misconceptions as well. That was the thing that I used to find, that people thought that they knew what it was like.
Yeah.
But actually the reality is, for example, OCD. Oh yeah, I like things clean.
Yeah.
That drives me mad because it is absolutely nothing to do in most instances with how you clean you are. So
In fact, completely the opposite sometimes. It can be something completely different.
Yes.
OCD can be anything on a continuum from making sure the door's locked once at night and then maybe walking downstairs to check it again, to checking it 20 times. But God, it can be anything, absolutely anything.
Yeah. It's when it's a real ritual
Yeah.
And it becomes a compulsion.
It's affecting your life. It's when it's... Exactly. I always think really serious OCDs are when they are affecting your life or they are preventing you from living your life.
Yes. Yes. When they just can't function.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because then the OCD itself, talking about control, then controls the life of that person.
Yes. Yeah. But it's, you know, I understand for the young person, it's breaking that cycle.
Yeah.
It's incredibly hard, isn't it?
So, when they're stuck in their own bubble.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is some brilliant support out there.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we found is that you have to fight to find it. So, yeah. You know, you have to do your own research. You have to hammer at certain doors to insist on treatment. I think some people just wait for the system to work through.
Yeah.
And actually, sometimes you need to just be a bit shout. More vocal about it. Yeah.
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 I also, those that shout the loudest get seen.
Yeah.
And I know that we would love to live in a world where we didn't need to shout the loudest, but sadly, that's what we have to do. We do have to shout the loudest.
Yeah.
I encourage people all the time to take control of their own mental health and physical health, actually. If something... you're not getting the answers from your GP that you really want, then go somewhere else. Yes, see another GP. Take matters into your own hands, but don't leave the matters in the hands of the people that you're not trusting.
Yes.
Because we are humans and quite often we're adults, so therefore we can take control of that.
Yeah.
That's what's important. We mentioned stigma earlier, and you said something really interesting around young adults and stigma. What did you mean by that? Is there something about there being more around?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I say, that the sort of statistics speak for themselves, that the number of young adults that actually are being affected by mental health issues is actually quite high.
Yeah.
But I still think within young people that they're not particularly happy to be open about it.
Yeah.
So there's still that stigma around somebody having... to a certain extent, a mental health issue, which there shouldn't be, and as you said, we were talking before, it's about educate, it's about schools, really. You know, particularly at Grantham, where I live, we are in a selective education system.
Yeah.
So if you go to what were the grammar schools, it's about academic performance.
Yeah.
And pastoral care. Was, I don't know whether it still is, was actually very poor.
Yeah.
And I hope, I really do hope that has changed. So, because it's not, you can't teach young adults that if they don't achieve certain things, that they're a failure.
Yeah.
And that's because that adds to the issues.
It's pressure.
Yeah, it is. It is. So yes, but I don't know. For example, I don't know what education does go on in secondary schools.
I'd like to think, things are changing, but things are changing really, really slowly. I see campaigns all the time to take mental health into schools and to make it more normal. And every time I see one, I go, this shouldn't be what's happening now. This should have happened 20 years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
It just, as I said on another podcast, I see so much unhappiness, so much trauma, so much discomfort in the human mind that it just saddens me. It really saddens me because I just look at it and go, it doesn't need to be like that.
No.
And it really creases me. And I just think, why does that happen?
Yeah.
And it's because I think, I'm sorry for getting political again, that there isn't enough education in schools. And we have to change the system somewhere. Mm. We just do. As I know that when I was younger, when we talk about stigma, we talked about people being crazy. We talked about people being picked up by the men in white coats. Oh my God, there's all sorts of detrimental talk around the mind. We have never done that about physical health.
No.
We have never done that about a broken leg or a sprained arm we just haven't.
Yeah.
Yet with the mind, and I do believe that comes from it being much harder to understand. We are getting there with it. Whereas with a broken finger, we can see it.
Yeah.
If something's happening in the mind, we can't see it. So therefore, we find it more difficult to, I guess, engage with.
Yeah. I think if I could ask I don't know, 18-year-olds, for example, to do one thing, I think it would just be to try and be kind to people. So, you know, not, you don't know everybody's story.
No.
You know, and the fact that somebody might act a little bit differently, they might look a little bit different, just cut them some slack and, you know, and just be kind, because you don't know what they're going through. And sadly, unfortunately, that's not always the case. And, you know, it's very much about what people look like and, you know, how they act. And so on. So, but yes, we just all need to be a bit kinder as well.
If you know, if we look at, because I work with a lot of kind of university age young people, and honestly, I'm sometimes astounded by the stories that I hear.
Yeah.
If you were able to ask universities to do one thing, what would it be? I'm sorry, I'm only giving you one thing, but that's we have limited money.
I'm not sure, actually. I think most universities are actually quite good at how they deal with mental health now. They are certainly putting a lot of resources into it. I don't know. That's a really difficult one.
What about if they were... So visually, there was more posters up. There was access to talks and workshops presented by mental health workers or therapists like myself. So I don't know. If I went into a university and at least four times a year went and delivered a kind of fun, accessible workshop around mental health, would that help break down some of the stigma around the mind?
Yeah, it might do. I mean, they, from the experience that, or the things that I've seen, they are quite good at doing things like that. It's in their interest, for a start.
Absolutely. They're going to get better results.
Yeah, exactly. And to have students there that actually are going to complete their courses.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing I suppose, actually, that I think universities should do is not do what they call the blackboard system. And that is where you don't have to go to lectures. You can look at the lectures online in your room afterwards.
Right.
So you could go the whole year through and not attend any lectures.
And not leave your room.
Yeah, because you can just look at them on the university website. Yeah. So they film every single lecture.
Yeah.
And I think it's done through a system called Blackboard. You can go on and look at those films. Now, I think it's a bit different with seminars, because I think you have to go to seminars. But to me, why would you enable students not to go to lectures?
Yeah.
Surely it's in their interest, everybody's interest, that they go to lectures. If they miss them, they miss out on it.
Yeah.
But by doing Blackboard, you are... A student can be sit in their room and not really come out.
Yeah.
And also, like, less, I mean, a lot of courses are 12 hours contact time a week.
Yeah.
That's so low.
Yeah.
You know.
It's nothing, is it?
No, exactly.
Is that 3 hours a day?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, encouraging students to actually participate more would actually be better. And probably, if nothing else, highlight issues with certain students perhaps earlier in the year. But yeah, I can't understand it. I can't understand why they put lectures on online, so you don't actually have to go to the lectures. Because it's not just the subject matter you're missing out on. You're missing out on meeting your fellow students, on having a social coffee.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more to it. It's about, obviously, that social interaction.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So... so yes, that's probably what I'd stop.
I like that. There can quite often be a very fine line between somebody kind of teetering with their mental health and to then taking a downward spiral. And I guess what you're saying there is, if there was more encouragement to get them out to the lectures, then they may just kind of not take the downward spiral. I was recently seeing a campaign, and it was run by a train company, and the campaign was about talking to people And they had somebody stood on a platform, and this person looked at this, the person that was stood at the edge of the platform, and just stepped forward mm-hmm. and started to speak to them. Now, the person that was stood at the edge of the platform was going to jump.
Yeah.
So what happened is this other person stepped forward and went, "How are you doing?" And just started to have a chat.
Yes.
And it was such a powerful campaign. And I just thought, yeah, and that's sometimes all people need.
Yes.
Is for somebody to just look at them and go, "Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
You okay?"
Yeah.
And it's that kind of fits in with what you're saying there. If students, I love the word enable. The word enable there was brilliant because universities are enabling their students to sit in their room and not do anything.
Yes.
Being in university can be such a frightening experience for a lot of young people. They're taken away from home and they're put in this
look to themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For a lot of students, it's brilliant and they love it and they have a great time. But I know a lot of students that really, really struggle with it.
Yes.
And it can send them into this place of this darkness that they just don't like.
Yeah, absolutely. And the more they're in the room, the more they are,
the more they sink into that.
It starts to become just a little bit of a downward spiral, really. And the university isn't always aware of you know how bad things might be getting. So, and the universities, in my experience, don't step in particularly early in the process. So they'll let things go for quite a long time before something is triggered.
I like the point you made then about it almost like being a touch point where if somebody isn't attending or isn't going, then the university will recognise that and step in sooner.
Yes.
Whereas if they are enabling them just to sit in their room and watch the lectures from there, then they don't have that touch point.
Yeah, no. And even a lot of universities, I don't think, have a register.
Yeah.
So I know they're adults and, you know, you don't want to necessarily treat them like young children. But again, if there's no system for registering how often they're attending, when you've got 200-300 students on a course, it's going to be a while before you actually pick up the fact that certain particular ones aren't attending courses. So, I just think more contact time in general. So in terms of the numbers of lectures and seminars that they have should be increased. And also... not enable students to be able to watch lectures in their rooms.
Yeah, for me it's about creating touch points to pick up on that again. It's about universities having some sort of, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a tutor-led system. If there was some sort of system where a tutor was plugging data into somewhere and they went, yes, this student's attended here, and here, there would be an automatic flag that came up that said, actually, this student isn't engaging.
Yes.
Do we need to do something?
Yes.
So we're not even asking for the lecturers to kind of be aware of that, because the system, if there was a system in place, would flag it up and say, oh, this student hasn't attended.
Yeah.
So again, just these touch points. Yes, we do want to treat young people like young adults, but sometimes... There's a transition. There's a transition from a young person being at home and being looked after and having their primary care is right around them to then being in this huge environment.
Yes.
With no care and no touch points whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they're thrown, you know, there's 18, 19, whatever year olds, you know, and again, they'll sort of, it's just a very, very difficult time. And they'll be comparing themselves to other people, you know. And I think just to go to lectures, as I say, it's about developing that friendship network as well.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, that can very quickly pass you by at university. And actually people end up making friendship groups and you've got left behind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again.
Because you weren't in there at the same level as others.
Exactly.
It's sad, really, and every time I see a young person from university that is really struggling, I get saddened by it, and I just think, what? Sorry, we're surrounded by some external noise here. Somebody was walking through with a trolley. It's about universities for me picking up and putting the resources back in. On a very practical level, if a university is responsible for young people's mental health, they're going to get much better results.
Yeah.
it kind of saddens me that universities would do it for that reason, but if they're going to do it for that reason, I'll go with it.
Yeah.
I'll use that as the reason, as long as they're looking after those young people.
Yes.
And the same in schools as well. If a young person's mental health is looked after in school, the school's going to have much better grades.
Yes.
And in work.
Yeah.
All of those three areas there, it's exactly the same. If an employee looks after their team members, they're going to get better work.
Yes.
They just are.
Yes, absolutely.
So, really powerful. Really powerful stuff. Leslie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Just to consolidate again that meeting, because that's really important. 9th of May.
Yes.
Urban Hotel.
Yes.
7 p.m. There's a Facebook page called Family
of the Black Dog.
Yes. People can join through there and make contact with you then.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's brilliant.
And just to reiterate, it's for parents, carers, friends of young adults.
Brilliant.
Who are suffering from mental, or have suffered from mental health issues.
That's amazing. I wish it every success.
Thank you.
And remember where I am if you think that they would benefit
definitely.
From having a chat. Really, that's wonderful. Thank you for listening. Any last words of wisdom for our listeners before we go?
Probably just what you touched on before about making sure you're in a good place yourself. So, you know, if you do need to go and talk to somebody yourself and see somebody, absolutely, I'd recommend it.
Yeah. So. Good. And I'm going to finish with, as I always do, please take care of yourself, look after yourself, and be kind. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others, okay? Any questions you have, please ask. Any subjects that you want covering, please send them in, and we will do our best to cover them for you. Take care. Bye-bye.